This is co-host Dick Paddock. We're playing a little Fred Ho and Quincy Saul music while we get things settled in. Be right back. This is Dick Paddock with the Wake Up Call on WCOM LP Chapel Hill and Carrboro, 100 watts of exciting power, and we're going to be on for the next hour, but we're going to start out because our guest hasn't arrived yet, but we'll start out with some news and views kind of thing.
Yeah, that's a good expression, and of course, what's in the news, deservedly so, all over, is the tragedy in Ferguson, the tragedy of a young 18-year-old guy being shot down, an unarmed guy being shot down by a policeman. And there's been a grand jury going on for quite a long time. What was it, a couple?
On the order of 3 months.
I was going to say at least a couple months, 3 months.
Yeah, he was shot in August.
Yeah, and it came down with a verdict to not indict him. In a lot of the feedback, I've been listening primarily to NPR. I don't watch CNN because I don't have that kind of cable, but and Dick, you tell me what you've been hearing, but the gist I've been hearing that was really interesting is a lot of concern about how the prosecutor handled it. And this is by district attorneys and prosecutors that they felt it was just very different from how this is usually done, that usually the prosecutor is there to lay out the facts, why the prosecutor thinks there needs to be an indictment. As one person said today, why go before a grand jury and put them through that if you don't think there should be an indictment? But instead, they felt that the prosecutor played like both defense, acted like a defense lawyer for the policeman rather than a prosecutor for the state. So I heard a lot of comments from various people who are in law enforcement and in prosecutorial roles. That was an issue that I had not realized. I didn't know how this is normally done, and this was not done. I know it's an unusual case, but still a prosecutor it almost sounds like, from what I get from it, that he was sort of trying it, playing defense lawyer and prosecutor, but more defense lawyer. Instead of it, if it needed to go to trial, that way it's out in the public rather than in a grand jury. It's a secret proceedings, although they're making some of the transcripts. So anyhow, that was just a lot of legal education to catch up with that, not even going to the whole racial aspect of it. And Dick, I see you're wanting to jump in here. Go away. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're basically right. The old cliche is that a prosecutor can get an innocent an indictment against a pencil if he wants to.
Oh, I heard ham sandwich today.
Yeah, I thought I'd try something different than the ham sandwich.
That's
way too much cliche. But, it's just and generally that's what a prosecutor is supposed to do.
Yeah.
Is if there's any chance at all of there being a valid case, then the prosecutor, district attorney or whatever, state's attorney, is supposed to present a minimum amount of information to the grand jury in order for them to bring a true bill of indictment and get a trial. Because that trial is supposed to be where all the facts come out and... If you have good representation on both sides, you have prosecutor and defender, then things are supposed to shake out, and you're supposed to filter through all the conflicts and everything and come up with a verdict, which, if you get 12 smart jurors, will be a correct verdict. And that's not what happened here by any means.
What I heard somebody say, which I thought was a good point, that he was acting more like a defense lawyer than a prosecutor, and that he was, and the victim, the one who was dead, could not defend himself. He was being accused of this, that, and the other. While the prosecutor was defending the policeman.
You've been listening to Al Sharpton. That's basically
was that the person I heard say that?
It may have been. I don't know. He in fact was interviewed after he gave a speech on Amy Goodman.
Because I was hearing different people, and
there's a lot of people saying the same thing.
Yeah,
including almost everybody who appears on MSNBC. And some people that I caught on CNN as well. So it's basically the idea that this prosecutor clearly had no idea of actually prosecuting the policeman, that he basically gave him a pass, particularly by letting him come in and without any cross-examination or defense representation. The police officer came in and told his own story, and he could do whatever he wanted.
And he wasn't cross-examined.
Right.
So nothing was challenged in what he said, which all of this I have just been finding out, since the non-verdict came through. So this was very, very troubling. Very troubling. And also there was a reminder, at least. I listened to Amy Goodman this morning, but I also listened throughout the day. It's in and out of a car and in and out of the kitchen, to the radio, NPR predominantly. Not saying that that's the best radio station going, but that's where I was getting my information. And, it was very, very troubling. And they had people on who would be reasonably unbiased, I would think, some professors from law schools and...
And they would at least be unbiased to the extent that they would be, they were brought on to explicate what was happening.
Exactly.
And that's their
professional expertise is on the line in terms of that's what they're teaching. That's what they do.
Yeah.
So it was a lot to take on. And the other thing that got reminded, that there was questions before that prosecutor became the prosecutor about that he would be biased, that they felt he had too many tie-ins with the police. And I'm not remembering the reasons why, but the defense did, and the family did not want that particular prosecutor, but then hope for the best. You know, once he was named, they hope
not
for the best.
Not a chance, because he has four relatives in his relatively immediate family actually working for the police force.
Oh, really?
And his father was killed in the line of duty as a police officer.
Oh, really?
And that it would be hard to imagine that unless he himself had once been a police officer and been wounded in the line of duty, it's hard to imagine a more biased background for a prosecutor.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I knew there had been reasons, but I didn't remember what they were. So it gets more and more troubling the more you hear. And the other thing that was very disturbing to me, when I got up the next morning and I did see some of those buildings that were burned, and it was really sad. They were in the black community, these small little businesses, and I thought, gee, why did the protesters, why didn't they go after a big corporation? You know, I'm showing my biases, but why pick these little mom-and-pop businesses that are right in the community providing jobs? Well, the interesting thing is, and I thought, gee, I thought they had all these state policemen and state guard and everyone out. Well, they were out, but they were protecting the rich area of town.
That's right.
They were not protecting things in the most vulnerable area, you know?
Right.
And
not only are they the most vulnerable, they're the most accessible.
Most accessible.
And so
no protection, no police protection there
at all.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, you might say, well, that's a pattern. Not protecting, say, Michael Brown. Not protecting the neighborhoods. Where Michael Brown and the other people who are people of color were living. And so it's very clear to me that it's of a pattern. And so at one level, I'm not surprised. I'm shocked, but I'm not surprised.
I guess I was surprised that each fact that came out, because I really wanted to be fair, and I know I have my biases, but I wanted to be fair. But each fact that came out sort of built up this whole picture that is very damnable in terms of absolutely overt racism. It wasn't very subtle at all.
Right.
You know, and so that was the only, I guess, heartening thing is that there is still the hope of a federal trial, and I understand Holder's looking into that, and I guess it also could be a civil rights trial,
right,
like they did with the Green.
Yeah, a civil property and monetary damages kind of trial.
Well,
wrongful death,
or that your rights have been, your civil rights have been abrogated or demolished or whatever. But the other thing is that God bless the people in that community. They, a lot of times people say, oh, you on the left or you who care about these things, you know, go and have one demonstration, then you go home and it gets forgotten. They have kept up day after night after night after night, and most of them, which please give credit, have been peaceful and have kept up the drumbeat of pressure, like we are out here, we're paying attention. So, and it has sparked, I hope, a national conversation, because this isn't just limited to Ferguson. This increased militarization of the police, the police moving from what we're hoped to have very often, a community model of policing, and it is more and more moving so far away from that. And I can't help that it's linked to our addiction to war and violence in our national policy, and that has seeped down, and police were never models of social work skills, although some of them have been. There are some good policemen out there and some who see their job as a social work job, but increasingly it's gotten to be power and control and a very militaristic war on the people policy, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And somebody said to me today, you know, that it's not just blacks, that they, whites are kind of getting afraid of police too. And I said, yeah, we all have reason to become more and more anxious and afraid. But of course, with blacks, it's that much more exacerbated and intensified.
Yeah, by centuries.
And, yeah, ten times more. So we're trying to give a report of some of the things we've been hearing. Reverend Barber, I did hear another positive thing today, that he's going to Ferguson later in the week with a whole delegation from this state,
right,
to stand with the people there, which is really heartening. And there was a protest. There was a protest, one in front of the post office around midday, and the Raging Grannies did sing, and I understand they had a terrific song. And then there was at the Pit at the same time, there was a protest going on there. And I also heard that the night that the verdict or non-verdict came down, well, it was a verdict, at 11 o'clock that night, 200 or 300, probably mostly students, went downtown to the post office, had candles, and had a candlelight service or protest, which, so in Durham, that's happening all over, I think that, so I'm hoping that this, you know, this has been simmering for a long time, the unequal treatment by the police, Trayvon Martin. There's name after name, and a lot of the names, some of the names we know, some of the names we don't know. But that's been happening.
Or you know, one of the most interesting things, and as a kind of coincidence, is that while on the day of the verdict being given, Goodman, Schwerner, and Cheney received the Medal of Freedom.
The Freedom Medal, yes.
Yeah.
I know. That was very moving. To, you know, so this day will be remembered for historically for a long time as maybe the day the country woke up and decided to change how policing is done in this country. Who knows? Well, I want to be an optimistic person as much as one can today.
Right.
That is a hope and a possibility. The other thing, though, that is on the dark side, I also heard today about a 12-year-old boy, and I think it was Cleveland. It wasn't any gang. It was a boy. He was the family wanted. There was some video. I don't know why there was a video being taken, but he was walking up and down the sidewalk, but he had a toy gun that he periodically put in his pocket and then periodically take down, acting like, you know, you're going to be shooting it and put it back. And somebody was in a gazebo there, saw him and called to the police, but said, you know, I think it's just a toy gun.
Yeah, it said fake, I think was the word that was used.
Oh, fake gun. Yeah. And, but, you know, just to let you know, just to check it out, and I'm going to be leaving. It's like, not, you know, I'm not going to be here. So the police went. Now, they say that the ones who went were not told that it was probably a fake gun. But he's a 12-year-old boy. And at that point in this video, he was sitting on a park bench, I think, and looked like he was reading, according to one of the reporters on NPR who viewed, had the opportunity to view whoever took this video, and it looked like he was reading. Police car pulls up, and it was barely, the motor wasn't turned off, and the passenger got out and shot him. They said the next thing you could see the kid going down. Now, there was not any sound. The police say they called out three times, put your hands up, but with the motor running, and if he was wrapped up in what he was doing, or whether he got scared and just froze there.
Right.
But according to the picture in that video, it looked like he's reading, and the next part, he just keels over, but he didn't keel over. He was shot dead. So it just, it's, you know, you think you're not going to be shocked, but especially in the light of how upset the country is, wouldn't you think the police would be extra careful? Or maybe they just feel they can get away with anything now.
Well, there are some people that think that the modern police murders are the latest form of lynching.
The latest form of lynching. like will intimidate you all, so you stay in your homes and
right.
don't come out on the street, don't sit in the park.
Yeah, they don't hang them up and burn the bodies or anything like that. They just kill them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we're waiting for our guest, who with the traffic is not here yet. We're kind of looking anxiously. I see a figure approaching. Shall I go check?
No.
That's not it.
Went right on in.
So, well, it's the night before Thanksgiving, and our guest will, if he doesn't show up, we'll have him on another time. We're hoping to have Reverend Campbell on, because the other really, really positive thing we do want to talk about, too, we're trying to keep a balance here, folks, for our own equilibrium and
sanity.
And our own sanity and our own fighting off depression, is that the Rogers Road community, which has been struggling for over 40 years, had a ribbon cutting a couple of weeks ago for their new community building, which is going to be such a positive thing in that neighborhood. And it's a beautiful building. It's got classrooms and a large meeting room, some smaller meeting room,
right.
a kitchen,
the right.
basketball a cement patio outside so that even when the weather's bad, they can play basketball. It was just,
right.
they can have meals out there, and it's adjacent to a field where I guess, until there's further development, I guess they can also use that field for picnics and stuff. So that was a joyous occasion.
Yeah, even if a tad chilly, not too bad.
The sun was out nice and bright. It
right.
was a beautiful, beautiful day. And a lot of politicians and a lot of...
Yes, I was a little surprised because usually there's a sprinkling of one or two of our elected representatives. But there was, maybe 10 or a dozen.
Quite a few.
Showed up. So they were getting the message, I think, about showing up.
I hope so. And one of... our favorite politician / activist, Mark Dorison from the County Commissioners, formerly some years back, in Carborough Alderman, that's where I first got to know Mark, he gave a wonderful talk and pointed out that this was not to congratulate the politicians, including he meant himself and everybody, but that the people had kept the pressure up and kept that struggle going for justice for that community, because promises had been made when they first put the landfill there more than 40
right.
years ago.
And that, not delivered on until now.
And have not been delivered on it. It's 40 years late, but they were told that if you just put up with this for 10 years till we can work something else out, then it'll be covered over and a park will be put on top of it, and it will be so wonderful. And that was by the first black mayor in Chapel Hill made that promise. And I'm sure he meant the promise, although...
By the time it came time to pay up, he'd moved on.
He'd moved on, and politicians can't make a promise for future politicians unless it
right.
becomes engraven in law, and it was not. And so they kept trying to remind about that promise. And so 40 years later, there is some action. And they did get a community building. And they are getting, I don't think they're getting sewer yet, but they have gotten some water. I'm not quite sure where all that stands. I know it's being worked on.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
Because I know that they spent a lot of time and trouble to get tests taken of wells which were contaminated from 40 years of a landfill.
Right.
And so that is being worked on. I'm not sure just where it's at this point in time, but the building is beautiful, and that is there, and the rest is very hopeful.
Right. And one of the biggest factors is that they're no longer using that landfill.
No.
It's quiescent. It's just sitting there now and not being filled up anymore.
Yeah.
There's no,
not all those
no
trucks.
Traffic through there, right.
Because now all those trucks are picking up. We got to figure out what to do with our trash, folks, and that a problem still waiting to be fixed because it's now being carted off to some poor neighborhood in Durham. I hope it's a neighborhood that it, I hope it's not affecting a neighborhood with people in it. I hope it's out at some, you know, industrial,
right.
A zoned industrial site. I don't know that, that's. And so while we're waiting, is it time for some music? Do we have any other announcement? Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. And
There's something happening tonight at 6:30 with regard to Ferguson, but I don't know what it is, and I'm not sure I know who to call.
Mm-hmm.
But I would guess that if anybody knows, it's our friend Miriam Thompson.
I haven't heard from her, so it may not be here. I think Durham is maybe having something, but I'm sure anything like that will be on the internet. So that's where a lot of information goes out. So check any of your internet, progressive, if you're on
right.
the internet.
Somebody's Facebook or other.
If somebody calls in and lets us know, we'll certainly put that on the air.
Right.
My hunch is that it's not here, but I think I heard that things are happening in Durham. So you might check anything connected with Durham.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see if, Check the NAACP. They may have it. The Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP. You might check the Durham NAACP. Dick is looking on his.
What I'm going to do is put up a little music.
Okay.
And then I will try and call.
Okay.
Miriam or whoever.
Oh, yeah, I can do that too. Well, you're getting some
music.
Yeah,
why don't you call and I'll...
I'll call and see if I can get her.
Okay.
Oh, maybe we should put a little light on. Maybe they think we went home.
Yeah, that might help. Okay, there's something coming in. Hello, WCOM.
Sorry, yes. Damon Sales and Michelle Johnson, who are aldermen for the town of Carrboro, are having a vigil for Michael Brown for Ferguson at 6:30 tonight at the Carrboro Town Hall.
Oh, okay, great. That just went out over the air, and I'll repeat it. It's at the town hall in Carrboro, which is right close to where we are. That's very helpful. At 6:30 this evening, and if it's
thanks, Dick.
Right, and if I recall, if it's raining, they'll take it inside, or I'm not sure, but they will find a place that has a roof.
I think it'll be inside the town hall.
Okay. That makes sense. Well, thank you very much for calling. Who's calling? Do you mind saying?
Thank y'all.
Frank? Well, there you have it. Our communications actually worked. So it's good to know, and I have a feeling I'll be over there at 6:30. So we're back to it.
That was really wonderful.
It actually worked.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Frank. We really appreciate that, and because I had not heard anything about it. That's great. So, okay, so inside the town hall at 6:30, there'll be a program or a protest. I'm not quite sure what all will be happening, but try to go, folks. That's great. Good for Carrboro.
Right. And good for Carrboro and good for our communication system.
Yeah. So I don't know what happened to our guest tonight, but I do know when I talked to him yesterday, he was really hectic. He was getting ready to go to Mebane to getting some, I guess it was food or something to distribute to people who needed some help. And so this is a time of year that there's a lot going on. So I hope he's okay, and I hope his car is okay. But we'll just carry on. So why don't we play a song, and then we'll make that announcement again about Carrboro. Make sure
okay.
It goes out.
Good.
That sounds good, Dick.
Dixie Chicks, just for some
my
variety.
Friends from high school married their high school boyfriends, moved into houses in the same zip codes where their parents lived, but I could never follow. No, I could never follow. Hit the highway in a pink RV with stars on the ceiling, live like a gypsy. Six strong hands on the steering wheel. I've been a long time gone now. Maybe someday I'm gonna settle down. But I've always found my way somehow by taking from high school, married their high school.
I'm not ready to make say, time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
I'll put my...
This is the Dixie Chick song that was such an important return after their after the attacks brought about by when they said that they didn't think that they thought George Bush was actually their president or something to that effect, and it put them in a real difficult spot. Because there, so many of their fans just turned on them, and this is the song that they sort of returned with, and said, you know, I said it, and I'm glad. Basically, I'm not going to turn me around.
Wait, what had they said that they got turned?
The song that I just played. I don't remember exactly what it is, but you know. They basically said that they said what they said, and they stood by it, even though they had such a nasty response, and I mean really nasty response. People would buy up and bring CDs and run over them with tractors and stuff. So that was their return. That was on their album. It was their first one after their hiatus. I don't know whether they had to get a new record company or what, but anyway, that was it. So
so we're back, and we just want to repeat breaking news. Turns out that a lot of people, you know, I guess it's just gone out pretty immediately or not for not too long, that there will be, I don't know if it's a protest, but there will be a program and slash whatever about Ferguson and what happened. I just was on the phone to find out more about it, and was told that our alderman in Carborough organized this, and that it might be outside or it might be inside is all we can tell you now. But I guess part of it is weather depending and how,
right?
Yeah, how many people there are, whatever. But this is good for Carborough. I'm just telling you, Carborough is so cool. It really is. It's really wonderful. So yeah, that's
the People's Republic. Oh.
Yeah, that's great. So 6:30 to 9 at the Carborough Town Hall, or the it might be at the Commons, just outside under the where the farmers market is, under the protection. The what do you call
under
them?
The roof.
Under the roof. Or it might be inside, depending, I guess, on numbers and weather. So try to come if you can, because as Dick and I were saying earlier, this is something that is a conversation, I hope, going on in the whole country about racism, about the police, about guns, to and police violence on particularly young black males. And again, I know there are some really good policemen, there really are, but this is happening too often, and it's just gotten where you can't bear to hear about one more. You know, it's like, what kind of a country is this now? We're a 12-year-old boy, you know. You know, I remember us playing with guns when I was a kid. And I know this is a different time. It is a different time, but this was not anybody being threatened with a gun. This was a kid all by himself, nobody around.
Right. And apparently, from the sound of what you described, he wasn't even playing with it or waving
at
it around.
At the time, the police pulled up, according to this video that the reporter described on the radio. He had gone after walking up and down kind of aimlessly, kind of looking around, kind of, you know how kids are, and then periodically taking the gun out, pretending like he was shooting and putting it back in his pocket, and then finally went and sat down. And from what the reporter could see on the, oh, here comes our guest.
Yes, we have
it looked
a guest
like he was reading.
In the meantime, I'm going to read an announcement on behalf of the Arts Center here where we're located. There's a Superfund show for kids this coming Saturday. That would be November 29th at 11 a.m. Enjoy Christmas on the farm, Farmer Jason style, as the performer returns to the Arts Center with a brand new holiday show featuring original punk rock songs from Jason's new album, Christmas on the Farm with Farmer Jason, sing-along classics, and some traditional carols. Tickets are youth $7,
Catch
friends $7, adults $9. Apparently, you if you're just an ordinary adult, you're not a friend. And you can also get a family four-pack of tickets for $28.
Okay.
Children under age 2 get in free. And that's this Saturday, November 29th at 11 a.m. here at the Arts Center in Carrboro. Always inspiring for 35 years.
Okay. Our guest is Scott here. Reverend Campbell, we're glad to see you.
Glad to be here.
Okay. Things happen. We know that.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Especially this time of the year.
Especially this time of year. And you were so gracious to even attempt to come with it being a holiday. So we don't have a lot of time, but it's going to be enough time because you can always come back.
Yes.
So we want to, and I know you want to talk about the good things that are happening in Rogers Road, or maybe some of the not so good things, whatever you want to talk about.
Well, the good things that are happening on Rogers Road, I want to thank the municipalities, how they collaborated and made sure that the community center for the Rogers Road have been built, and hopefully we'll be moving in there very soon. It is something that the neighborhood have been expecting for quite a long time, and it just excites us that the young people are stopping by every day, want to know when will they be able to use it, when will they we be able to do some things in there. Parents are asking them, when can we have a party in there, and we tell them very soon. I tell you, the staff, Mr. David Caldwell and Rose Caldwell and the arena board and the community unity board is ready to move forward. We're hoping that and praying that we get a lot of volunteers to help us to keep the facility open and running. It is a beautiful place.
We want
everybody to come out and get a tour of the place.
It is beautiful. Dick and I were both at your ribbon cutting. And
I even got a tour about a week before when I stopped by.
So true.
Which I really appreciated. And I can, there was a difference. There was some more work done when I went there for the ribbon cutting, as you would expect. But it was really nice.
Oh, I know. You're so proud of it.
I'm not proud of it.
I looked at Reverend Campbell.
Reverend Campbell, yes.
I looked at Reverend Campbell. So, because I know you have worked tirelessly for many years for this to come to fruition, and there's other things that need to be done. And I know one thing, that you need a lot of supplies for this new building, so maybe we can start making an appeal, because you need all the supplies.
Oh, yes, yes.
Everything.
We need everything. We need kitchen utilities. We need computers. Mm-hmm. We need bookshelves. We need brooms. We need everything
to keep paper for the computer.
Yes.
So anything you can think of for tutoring, for art, for crafts,
yes,
art supplies, the whole shebang. There's going to need to be some folding chairs for when there's meetings, bookshelves. Anything you have, please keep the community center in your heart and in your mind and tell people about it.
Please, please do. Please do.
Yeah. So here you are.
Oh, yes. But, on my mind.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
We understand in order for social change to take place. And often when I send an email, I have a little quote at the end of my email that says that we still yet have much work to do. on the ruling that came out of Ferguson the other night.
We've been talking about that.
I'm kind of torn between being frustrated but yet committed that I must continue to speak justice into injustice. And in order to do that, there have to be conversation about the policies and the interpretation of policies. How do we as America mend a rip in our justice system? We understand right here in Chapel Hill and Carver, even with the idea of how police department should operate, and we know there are discrepancies in procedures, but we must speak accountability. We're all part of the society. We know that police officers, we know the administration is only human. And as human, we err. But at the same time, we have to take the responsibility when we do.
Exactly.
And we must understand that our justice system is not out for hire. It is not given to those who have the power to influence with finance, with money, and think that they have power. But see, they don't have power. They have the authority that is given to them by the people. And we, the people, must understand that we must, when we see that there are problems in the system, we must speak and we must act rather than react. We should say, this need to be corrected. We cannot become separated because of a few mistakes that are leaving young people laying dead in the street. We have to find ways that even as parents, even as administrators, we have to have a clear understanding when one is approached by law enforcement, what is the proper protocol? I understand that you can provoke a person by simply the way you speak to them. Could this have been handled in a better way? Yes. Is there something that needs to be done with our justice system and an oversight over our authority that we give to others? There is. And I think not only getting out to vote, but also let us look at how the policy was established and what was the mindset of establishing the policies that provided the information for that outcome of the grand jury. There were probable cause. And how they interpret it is not a true enactment of what justice is about. I can understand that one may be provoked simply by what you say, but at the same time, an unarmed person that is faced with one that has a gun, that to me was not trained properly. Mm-hmm. And never give a scared person a gun.
No.
If that is not the position you need to be in, find a new job.
Exactly.
But we cannot leave people laying dead in the street because we fear the job that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to train our police more?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Do we need race equity training? Yes, we do. But the thing about it, only God can change a heart.
Mm-hmm.
If God is not in their life, mm-hmm. more of this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time, we who know must speak out to injustice mm-hmm. wherever we see it at.
Yeah, and I feel that policeman indicted himself. I heard part of his interview with Stephanopoulos, and he said he felt like a 5-year-old. He kept talking about like the Hulk, that this guy was so big. And then the kid was so big. Then it turns out the policeman was only an inch shorter and was close, you know, a big guy too. But he said, I felt like a five-year-old, and I think that bespeaks to what you were saying, that he was scared. But what kind of training did he have that here he's the one with a gun, and he felt like a five-year-old? Five-year-olds do not need to have guns. That is a quote from somebody I heard talking about that earlier today. You know, that if you feel like a five-year-old, you should not be having a gun.
That is true.
You know?
At the same time, if I was fearful for my life, I would have stayed in the car. I would have stayed in my patrol car.
Exactly.
And wait for backup.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe the results that they put out there. If a person is 30 feet away from me, he's no threat to me. They always said, sometime it is better to retreat, mm-hmm. that you may come back and complete the battle tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, to be thinking like a five-year-old, thinking that someone that does not have to equal firepower, how could it be a threat to me when I'm standing there holding a gun? My thing is that the person means a far enough way. You should have been trained to shoot the person to make sure that he is not a threat to you. You shoot him in the leg, shoot him in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
But to shoot a person the way he had been shot and even end up shooting somebody in the head mean that, you know, they can come up with all the scenarios they want to. But that means that the head was lower than the person that was standing up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to me, you know, how do we justify this?
Well, and I heard, you know, that the grand jury, not to blame the grand jury, that they had been called before this ever happened. So they were kind of stuck there. And what a lot of blame from several different commentators that I heard today was about the prosecutor, that he acted the role of both defense, that it was totally different from however prosecutors usually present to the grand jury, which is to present that they're trying to get to show why this person needs to be indicted. They said this prosecutor acted more like a defense counsel than a prosecutor, and that he kept blaming the victim and telling all the things wrong with the victim, the boy that was killed,
mm-hmm.
rather than about the policeman. So it's very troubling, very, very troubling.
Well, you know, I've heard several different accounts, understanding that the prosecutor, his father,
was killed
in the line of duty,
mm-hmm.
by an Afro-American.
And they didn't want him in the first place, the community, because of that.
Yes. And so,
of course, that influences you.
Oh, definitely.
You know, you have
an opportunity to try someone with the same image that may appear that I'm trying my father killer.
Yeah, yeah.
That throws up red flags. Was there a conflict of interest here? It should not have been.
It should not have been.
And so do we need to go back and look at this? How do we know that the information that was given, if he was the one interpreting and giving the clarity of the information, where were the bias and the prejudice in that interpretation? So it should be looked at by a special prosecutor,
mm-hmm.
that is outside Missouri.
Exactly, and that's what was said before this it ever went to the grand jury, and it was disregarded and ignored, and now it's just compounding a tragedy.
Yes.
You know.
At this time of the year that we should be giving thanks.
Yeah.
We can say, you know, that right now it have not escalated to a point where an all right out calling in of the full National Guards.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we could be thankful that America is not being torn apart. There are those that are out there really want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we are giving organizations like ISIS an opportunity to recruit.
Absolutely.
On that fear.
Yes.
And so we have to say, look, there is a calm and nonviolent way to do that.
Yes.
and we're going to make it through this. Yeah. But my goal is that let us speak truth and let us work these things out and let us bring these type of shooting to an end.
And I think there is a national conversation going on now about the police needing, we have 3 minutes, better training. One of the things before we go off the air, I don't know if you heard on your way over, but there is going to be a program tonight in Carrboro at the Carrboro Town Hall, either in the Commons outside or inside. We've heard conflicting reports. I think a lot depends on the amount of people or the weather, but the alderman did organize, so there's going to be a program tonight. There's been protests
it's
and programs.
It's at 6:30.
At 6:30 tonight. So there's all over the country. We only have a minute or two more. Any last word that you want to say about Rogers Road, or you just...
Well, the overall thing about Rogers Road.
We're thankful for that. With all the terrible things going on in the nation, that is a thing to be truly thankful for.
Here is an opportunity for the community.
To pull together.
To pull together.
Mm-hmm.
To really help effective change to occur.
Mm-hmm.
Let us put our resources into the Rogers Road Community Center.
In these young
help
people.
Help Rena to help shape these young people and those who have the ability and the compassion to work with young people, come out and volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
Help us steer these young people in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of work that can be done, and here we have a facility, a new facility that can help bring a diverse community together and help this community to be the fabric that holds the community together.
Yeah.
Opportunity to volunteer, opportunity to help bring and promote change.
And so if you want more information, what is the website? What is it, Rena?
Well, we're still working on it. It's renacenter.com. Or you can still reach us through the old website, which was rogersroad.wordpress.com.
So this, and we'll be having more. We'll have you back. We'll have David back. We'll be talking about this some more. Thank you so much for coming. And tonight, from 6:30 to 9 at the Carrboro Town Hall or the Commons or both. This conversation needs to continue about police training, about diversity training. I heard an expert on who trains police in some other state, and from what he said, no wonder they're having trouble. He says, oh, no, by the time you're going to use your gun, it's like shoot to kill. We don't do warning shots anymore. Maybe I heard him wrong, but he said that's a last resort. So when you have your gun out, you don't bother with warning shots or whatever. You go for it. And I just thought, whoa. And, we got to get back to a community policing model, and that's another conversation we'll be having on this radio show. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Reverend Campbell, and we're so happy you were able to come.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Late, but for sure.
Yeah, I said to Dick, I know that, I said, either his car, or I said, I know you were hectic when I called, and you were talking to somebody about going to Mevin to pick stuff up. I said, with all that's going on,